asked, how do you met one another? Tell us your love story, etc. In today's text, it's about a beautiful marriage between Isaac, Abraham's son, and Rebecca. It's a beautiful story, and a story is one with a lot of details. And even though this story is very old, it still have a lot of spiritual nuggets, precious nuggets for us to learn. First of all, it tells us for young people, singles, pay attention. This passage talks something very important at marrying the right person, It also, this story also tells us about spiritual guidance. The servant achieved his mission, totally aware of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And also, it talk about, we often talk about Abraham is a man of faith. And here, it is a man who is living out his faith even till the end, the very old age. What does it mean by living a life of faith? And finally, I want to say something about to married couples, just in case you felt left out through the story. So would you please turn, we'll be looking a lot of the Bible on the chapter 24. Keep your Bible open because we'll be reading from it. Chapter 24. It's a long story, but it is a very interesting and empowering story. Our brother James already read verses 1 to 9. Here, it's about Abraham commissioned his servant. This story happened at an unspecified time in Abraham's old age. The Bible did not really say how old Abraham was, but there was at a time when, after the death of his wife, Sarah, and Abraham was looking to find a wife for his son, Isaac, to carry on the God's promise to make him a great nation. You know, to be a great nation, you need to have many descendants. So he have to find a wife for his son. So Abraham called upon his servant, one of the most trusted one. The Bible did not name him, to go back to his ancestral homeland to find his son a wife. And he make it very seriously, he make it very formally. He says, to do this, you have to satisfy my condition, and you have to swear by it. Here, we learn a lesson in faith by Abraham's example. What do you mean to live by faith? To live by faith means Abraham lined up his life in accordance to God's promises, even close to death. You see that how Abraham lined up his life. He says, God gave me a promise. He promised me that my son will be a great nation. I would be the father of a great nation. And he will promise to give me this land. Therefore, he refused to allow Isaac to intermarry with the local Canaanites, because the Canaanites will pollute this royal line of descendants. He will preserve the royal line. The promised seed will come from the line of Shem rather than the line of Ham, Canaan. And also, because of the promise that God gave him, that promised this land, he said, I would never allow my son to go back, because this is the place that God gave us. never take my son away from this land. You see, decisions are made in line with what God promised him. He would never allow his son to marry the local people and also not to leave the land. How do you align your life in major decisions? That's the question to you and me today. You know, when in your life there are many major decisions. Your marriage, whom are you going to marry? How about your career? Where do you live? These are major decisions. Do you make these decisions in line of what God, the faith that God gave you? The Bible inspiration? What are you? How are you making the decisions like that? I remember many years ago when Reverend John Fong was the pastor of this church. And at that time, Sharon and I was working, both working in Toronto. You know, I work in construction site. Every job site is in Toronto. Sharon's always work in Toronto. And Reverend John Fong at that time was worried. He says, "Ming, are you going to move to Toronto?" Well, moving to Toronto would be nice, much closer to work. But we said, "No, our home is here. Our church is here. And we don't feel that, you know, God is calling us to move to Toronto. So, how you make your decision? Next, we talk about the story continue in verse 10 to 27. It is a story when the servant received this commission, he left to go to Abraham's household, homeland, to look for a wife. So follow along, verses 10. When the servant took 10 of his master's camel and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master, he set out for Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the woman go out to draw water. Notice the servant took 10 camels. Why 10 camels? 10 camels is a lot. They need to carry a lot of things, a lot of supplies and gifts. You know, the journey back to Abraham's homeland by camels probably takes over a year. You know, you cannot travel fast. You have a lot load, so they need a lot of supplies. And they arrive at the well when they reach the homeland. You know, in the Bible, the well is a kind of a romantic place, you know that? A well is very, this is where all the women gather, you know? This is the place to meet the girls. And this story is actually begins and ends at the well. In the Bible, besides Abraham's servants met the girl, Rebecca at the well, Jacob, you remember? Abraham's, Isaac's son, Jacob, went back to the homeland, also met his wife Rachel at the well. Later on, Moses met his wife Zipporah at the well. So the well is a romantic place. So today, where are we going to meet the girls? Maybe Starbucks? Maybe not. Let's continue. Verses 12 to 14. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. "See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." You see, this is the first time in the recorded account of the Bible that a person prayed to God for specific guidance. He says, "By this I will know." I am setting a condition to find who is the right person. And if this person is the one that when I ask for water, he let me water, and right away he says, "I will water your camels too," then this is the sign that I know you have chosen for my master's wife. Here, the whole story have emphasis on prayers. The servant's prayer is crucial to the story and the fulfillment of his mission. But you notice that this servant is very wise. When he asks for this sign, he is not just asking for a sign. "Oh, send me the most beautiful girl in the town." No, he asks, "I am looking for a girl with an inner beauty character. She is the one who shows hospitality," very important in those days. "She is looking for the one with a kind and gentle spirit." You know, she would let me have water, but also have this initiative to be kind to a traveling old man and offer to water his camel. You know how much a thirsty camel drink? They said each thirsty camel drink 25 gallons of water. And so 10 camels is how many? How much water? 250 gallons. Enough to fill 10 tank of gas. I mean, each tank, like a fill up of a car, you know, big car, 25 gallons. So it's not pressing the pump, you know. You have to go to the well, draw the water, fill the trough, go back and forth. 250 gallons. The lady is not offering a small favor to this old man. And this servant asked for this sign. "I want this girl. You send me this girl who is kind to me, offer me water, and at the same time offer me water for the camel." Verse 15, "Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out of her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water from your jar.' 'Drink, my lord,' she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking.' So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw more water and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camel had finished drinking, The man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beaker and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughters are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she said, "We have a plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man lowered down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my father's master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relative." Notice, he says, as the servants pray, before she finished praying, that is obviously showing that God's timing. This encounter is strictly from God's timing, perfect timing. Rebecca, Abraham's niece, Isaac's cousin, show up, appears. He's like, "Oh, Lord, send me this girl." And right away, before he's even finished praying, Rebecca show up, the right candidate. And notice, there's bonus. She asked for the kind-hearted, hospitable woman, and the bonus is she's beautiful. She's also a virgin. Verse 19 talk about she actually draw water until she finished the camels all finished drinking. So this girl make an offer. It's not say, "Oh, after 2-3 camels, oh, your camel is so thirsty. You know, I'm so tired. You know, forget it. You know, you get your own water. No, she make a commitment and she finish the water. And then after that, the servant watching her, and then after that, he offer her gifts. It is very customary to offer gifts to express the gratitude. The nose ring is 1/5 ounce of gold, and the bracelet is 4 ounces of gold. David, consider the price of gold these days, 4 ounces of gold. Expensive gifts. So this, and then you notice this servants begin with prayer and ends with prayer. As soon as he find out this girl, what the background, the family background is, so he spontaneously offered prayer. In faith, the servant acknowledged that it is God who provides. What appears to human, some people, if you don't believe, you don't look at it, things happening in your life in faith, then we say, coincidence. It just happened that way. But to this servant, he looked at things in faith and he said, this is God's hand working. And then let's continue in verses 28 to 61. Negotiation with Laban. Okay. Follow along. The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arm, and had heard Rebekah told what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said, "why are you standing out here? I have prepared a house and a place for your camels." So the man went to the house and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder are brought for the camels and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. Rebekah's brother, Laban, as soon as he saw those nose ring and the bracelets, first of all, he hears about Rebekah's report. He says the Bible describes him as, he saw, as the moment he saw that what he's watching is the nose ring and the bracelets. It's a hint that Laban is a person of greed. Later on, we know from the Bible story, later on, in Laban's dealing with his nephew, Jacob, eventually Rebekah's son, Jacob, was sent back to his homeland to look for a wife. And between Laban and Jacob, there was cheating and deceit because of for selfish motives. So this man, Laban, is a very calculated person. And then this servant, he says, I will not eat until I tell you what I'm here for. To you, maybe to us, maybe it's, oh, this man is so abrupt. But again, I tell you, this servant is very wise. He said, I am going to present a marriage proposal. It shows this servant, first of all, is a very loyal servant. He wants to finish his mission first before he eat and drink for his comfort. So he places his master's mission ahead of what he needs. And second, he is very wise. He says, I will not take any favor from you. Just in case, if you turn around, you know, and after I've eat your food, I become feel obligated. He's a very prudent person. He says, I will not take any favor from you unless I want to see whether you accept my marriage proposal or not on behalf of my master. Very wise person. So let's see how he described, how he presented the proposal. Verse 34. Then tell us, Laban said. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, manservants and maidservants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he was given him everything he owns. And my master's made me swear on oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live. But go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angels with you and make your journeys a success, so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then, when you go to my clan, you'll be released from my oath, even if they refuse to give her to you, and you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord, God of my masters Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I'm standing beside the spring. If a maiden came out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink, and I will draw water to your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulders and said, drink, and I will water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughters are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whose Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my masters, Abraham, who had led me down on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. What do you think of this marriage proposal? It's very tactful and skilled, you know that? What his servants describe his master, Isaac. Isaac is very wealthy. Second, Isaac is young. He says, don't look at my age. Don't look at Abraham's age. He was born at the very old age of Sarah's life. So he's young. Don't think that he's an old man. And third, Isaac is the only heir of the whole family. So Rebecca, if she accepts, she would be marrying to be the only heir. All the possession, all the wealth will be his. Plus, in this marriage proposal, he's talking about that this is the whole thing that is in God's will. You see how he's repeating in details of his prayer, Abraham's faith, and how Abraham says that, you know, God will walk in front of you and prepare the marriage, and how I pray, and how at the right timing, and exactly how Rebecca fulfilled. He says, who are you guys going to do? Turn away from God's will? No, you can. That's why he says all this. So, verse 50. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or another. Here's Rebecca. Take her. And go. Let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servants heard what he said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servants brought out gold and silver, jewelry, and articles of clothing, and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and slept, spent the night there. Okay? So, after the servants presented that way, Laban said, oh, it's from God. Who are we to refuse? So they accept the marriage proposal. And then the servants bow down. He never failed to credit and thank God. And then he gave generous gifts to Rebecca, and probably part of them would be considered as bride price to the family. And then finally, they ate. Okay. Verses 54. This is a long story, but I think it's worth to explore it. 54. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her mother replied, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so. Then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me, now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they said, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted the camels and went back to the, with the men. So the servants took Rebekah and left. Next day, the servant asked to leave with Rebekah. You may say, why the rush? You know, it seems to us it's kind of unreasonable to be so hurried. They asked for 10 days or so. Literally, in Hebrew, this term is translated as days of tens. It could mean a few days or a few years. In other words, because the family said, stay for a while, stay for a while. No. You see, Laban is not a simple person. He's a very calculated person. Later, remember the story Jacob went to see him and tried to marry Laban's daughter, Rachel? You know how long Jacob spent and worked for Laban, for her daughter? Stay for a while! 20 years! 20 years end up Jacob working for his father-in-law. So this servant is very discerning. He achieved his purpose, and he said, I want to go. I need to go, 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 go. And then there is a twist. Remember, I don't know whether you notice. Night before, they already agreed to the marriage. And after receiving the gift, what does Laban say? Let's ask the girl. In the olden time, it's the parents, the father, who have all total authority of who the daughter would marry to. But now suddenly he said, let's be democratic. Ask the girl. They already agreed, and they already received the prize. And they asked the girl. But under God's guidance, and also inspiration from the Spirit, Rebekah said, in an act of faith, is that I will go with this man. I'm going. I see God's hand in it, and I will go. Had the servant and Rebekah stayed, they might have lost both the gifts and the marriage. And they get ready, and good things the servant brought along 10 camels, because now they have 2 person, and then another 1 year of journey. Verses 62. Okay. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahore Road, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You see, it begins at a well, it ends at a well. This well is Beer Lahai Roy. Remember, this well is Genesis 16. This is the name is chosen by Hagar. It's the well of the living God who sees me. Hagar encountered the Lord there. First time when he ran away when he was pregnant, chased by Sarah. And you see, in this theater, Isaac looked up and Sarah looked up, the two eyes meet together. You know, in a Hollywood movie, you will see a slow motion, you know, you must focus on the two eyes meeting. And then she became his wife and he loved her. So truly, this is a marriage made in heaven. Is God's hand. Okay, I promise that it says marrying the right person. I have a point to make in marrying the right person. So is this a blueprint to find a spouse? Well, we cannot directly apply the Old Testament custom and culture. It's very different from to a 21st century urban setting. And even matchmaking in the Bible is not universal. Jacob find his own wife. It's not by through his father. And Song of Songs talk about a romantic love that brought a couple together. Okay, but in this story, there's a principle that we learn. First of all, Abraham is very concerned that his son should marry someone who shared the most same fundamental value. Abraham is concerned that I want my daughter-in-law, my son, to marry a person who have showed this faith, the same faith, away from the idol and embrace the faith of Abraham's God, not idol worshiping. Very important. And second, look at how the servants look for a wife, for his master. He's not looking for a woman that is just beautiful and wealthy, but rather one that have inner character, kind, generous, hospitable. And in world standard, maybe we'll be looking for a person who's wealthy, is beautiful, but in the Bible, for a wife, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Okay, that's the standard of a woman. And then for guys, girls, what are you looking for in a man? The Bible also said this. It said, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who finds great delight in his command. So look for a man who has feared the Lord again, and who have find great delight in his command. So use this guideline, look for a wife. At church, at workplace, maybe even Eve Harmony, set your parameters. There's nothing unbiblical about finding your spouse through Eve Harmony, or the setting your criteria. I want a Christian, I want a loving, serving Christian. And finally, I totally ran out of time, but this is very important, I think, for married couple. This is a marriage that is made in heaven. It starts off right, but it does not guarantee to end well. Okay, it's a beautiful marriage, but you know how it ended up when Isaac and Rebecca at the close to that old age. Each person, they have two twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Each one favor one son. And then they don't even communicate with one another. Each son, Isaac wants Esau to receive the blessing. Rebecca, I want Jacob to receive the blessing. This family totally, towards the end, becomes totally dysfunctional and break up. So, married couples, it tells us, remind us, what begins well does not guarantee it ends well. You have to nurture your marriage. You have to nurture your marriage. Okay, maybe I have to cut off your last song and just sing the doxology. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that presenting us this beautiful story, and through your salvation history, we also learn other important spiritual truths. So may you bless us, bless our marriage couples, bless our singles in our church, and bless our help them to live their life in faith in accordance to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.